found in the second part of John 19, verse 30. John 19, the 30th verse, second part. These words, "It is finished." It is finished. These words, beloved, in the original, constitute just one word. Just like the immediately preceding cross utterance is one word in the Greek. So this word, which is the basis of my text and of my sermon tonight, is just one word. It is finished. And to tell the truth, I preached on this more than once in the past when we treated the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to tell the truth once more, the older I get, the more I hesitate to preach exactly on this one word of Scripture. It is finished. And when you come to think of it, that one word is so perfect as to form, in every sense of the word, perfect. It's so extensive in its meaning. And is so intense in its nature that one hesitates to even say a few words about this marvelous passage of Holy Writ, this marvelous crossword of the Lord. You know, no human being could ever say anything like this just before he died. I don't expect to say anything like that when I confront the end of my present life. No human being can ever utter anything of the kind. Only the Son of God in the flesh, the perfectly obedient servant of the Lord, could say this, and say it in every sense of the word. It is finished. It is complete. It is perfected. It has reached the purpose and the end. You know that the Lord spoke this word immediately before he gave up the ghost, immediately before he died. In fact, the four last crosswords were spoken undoubtedly in very quick succession. As I told you, The Sunday night, 2 weeks ago, I think, the crosswords were divided into two parts. The first three were addressed to others, to the Father with his own in mind when the Lord prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," to the penitent thief on the cross, whom he promised his salvation, and to his mother and to John. These three crosswords were spoken during the first 3 hours of the crucifixion. Then the darkness set in at noon. And from noon till almost 3 o'clock, till almost the moment that Jesus died, he spoke not again. Not one word was heard from the cross in those 3 hours of darkness. And then, at the end, when the Lord reached, as is evident from his outcry, the very depth of his suffering, and of bearing the wrath and curse of God, he uttered 4 more crosswords, but in very quick succession. First there was the outcry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was the end. That was the depth of Jesus' suffering, of course. And then, immediately after that, Jesus evidently arose from the depth, the deepest depth of his suffering and agony, so that he paid attention once more to his bodily suffering. And he said, "I thirst." And when they had given him the vinegar, and he tasted of it, the Lord said, "It is finished." And thereupon he gave up the ghost, saying, "Father, into thy hand that I commend my spirit." Now it is this word of the cross, "It is finished." As I say, one word, one simple word in the Greek. That has to have our attention tonight. And I will try to speak a few words about this momentous outcry, momentous cross utterance of Jesus. When I speak to you on "all finished" and ask, what is finished? How is it finished? And what is the significance of its being finished? First of all, then, what is finished? In the first place, beloved, let me once more explain that one word that occurs here in the Greek. The word "finished" doesn't really express the true meaning of it. I like the Dutch word, the translation in Dutch, much better. And that translation of the Dutch represents the meaning of what the Lord said in this sixth crossword much better than the English. "Het is full bracht." It is full bracht. It is fully accomplished. That's really the meaning. And that's the meaning of the original word. And it is emphasized by the very form in which this word here in the Greek occurs. As I say, the word in the original as such means complete, fully accomplished, perfect. Come to the end in the sense of the fact that the purpose of something is reached. That is really the meaning of the word. But the way it is read here in the original, in its form in which it occurs, emphasizes that meaning. Really, it reads in the original, it has been accomplished. Even that does not express it. In the original, you really read, it just has been accomplished. It just has been accomplished. An immediate past that has been perfected. In the immediate past, the end has come. The end, not in the sense of time, man, but in the sense that the purpose has been reached. The purpose. And so the question is, what has been accomplished? What has been done? What has been finished? What does Jesus mean? And beloved, there is one thing that makes it difficult for this particular word of the cross to explain and to preach on. Because we can say in one word everything. Everything has been accomplished. At this moment, on this third hour, or ninth hour, according to Roman time, on this ninth hour on the cross, in the year 33 AD, everything has been accomplished. There's nothing left. Everything. Oh, I can enumerate a few things. What has been accomplished is, that's what the Lord means in general, what has been accomplished is the promise. The promise has been accomplished, has been fulfilled. The promise has been fulfilled. What is the promise? The promise is the Word of God that began in paradise. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise its heel. That promise had been repeated and repeated and repeated in the old dispensation, and every possible form has been repeated by prophets and teachers and seers, has been repeated in sacrifice and temple and altar, and it is to that promise, to the crushing of the head of the serpent, to the victory of the seed of the woman, that the Lord undoubtedly has a reference when he says, it is finished, it is accomplished. The promise of the old dispensation, the promise thou hast made, the promise of salvation, which thou hast made of old, has now been finished, has been accomplished, has been perfected, so that nothing is left of that promise that must still be fulfilled. The head of the serpent is crushed forever. And thy people, the people of God, are saved. That's one aspect. You could say, What has been finished, what has been accomplished, what has been completed and perfected, everything, oh yes, to that everything belongs, and that the end of the law has come. It's finished. The end of the law. Christ is the end of the law, according to Scripture. That is, it is, Christ is the end of the law in the sense that the whole law looks to him. The whole law of the old dispensation, in all its lines, looks to Christ. And looks particularly to the cross and the resurrection, and principally to the cross. That end of the law had just been accomplished. The temple, the altar, the priest, the prophet, the king, all the shadows of the old dispensation had been accomplished in the sense, beloved, not that they had been done away with, but that they had been realized. Reality had come. That had been accomplished. The real temple had now been built. Just at this moment had been built. The real altar had been erected. The real prophet, priest, and king had been realized. All the shadows of the old dispensation had been accomplished, perfected at this very moment. It has been finished. So we can go on. The covenant of God had been realized. The everlasting covenant of God with his people in Jesus Christ our Lord. That covenant had been established. The covenant of friendship between the triune God and his people in Christ Jesus had been perfect at this very moment. Sin had been removed. Death had been overcome. Everlasting life had been accomplished just at this moment. That's what the meaning of the sixth crossword of the Lord is. The serpent's head had been crushed. The shadows had been realized. The end of the law had come. The covenant of God had been established. Sin and death had been destroyed. Everlasting life had been brought to light. Everlasting life and glory, the tabernacle of God. It has been finished at this moment. Probably, beloved, we can say a little more about this yet. You can, of course, you can go on speaking about this, the contents of what has been finished. I cannot do that tonight. But I want to call your attention to one more item in this word of Jesus. You must remember that here we have not a mere statement, and not a mere objective statement, but we have here a cross utterance. That is the wonder of it. We must not forget that. We must not forget that all these utterances come from Jesus' soul. They have their origin in his consciousness as the suffering servant of the Lord on the cross. Don't forget that. That's true, of course, with all the cross words. That's true of the first one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, has its origin in Jesus, so loving his elect. The same is true of his word to the penitent thief. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Another word of the suffering servant of the Lord, revealing his love to his own. The same is true of the word with which Jesus takes farewell of his mother and of all his earthly relationships. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. That becomes more emphatically true with the last cross words of Jesus, the last four. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is wrung from the very soul of the mediator. And that means, of course, that he entered into the very depth of hell and felt and actually was forsaken of God because of his elect for whom he suffered. That is also true of this cross word, beloved. We mustn't forget that. In other words, we must really ask from the viewpoint of Jesus' consciousness at that very moment, what does it mean in his mouth, in his mind, when he said, "It is finished"? Let's try to think about that a moment. What did Jesus mean? He meant, beloved, in the first place, undoubtedly, I finished all that thou, Father, gavest me to do. That's included. In other words, to analyze that, it means, especially with a view to Jesus' suffering, I finished the bearing of the burden of thy wrath. That is now finished. Completely finished. That's what Jesus meant. Jesus meant to say, for 33 years, from the very day of my birth in Bethlehem, I came under thy wrath. And bore it. I sustained it. I bore it all my life long. I bore it until just a moment ago, the bearing of thy wrath almost became impossible for me, so that I had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now it is finished. The wrath is finished. I'm under the wrath, thy wrath no more. What does that mean? That means, beloved, another element. Jesus was under the wrath of God because of sin. not of his own sin. Very well, we'll come to that presently. But nevertheless, he was under the wrath of God because of sin. God's curse is upon the sinner. And that curse which is upon the sinner was upon Jesus because of sin. And in the third place, beloved, that means that the Lord means that here. He means that here. He means to say, all my life long, until a few moments ago, until the moment when I cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I was conscious of thy wrath and of thy curse upon me. I was conscious of it. I was conscious of it because I stood in the place of sinners. I was conscious of that. In the third place, beloved, it means, it is finished, means that Christ meant to say here, it's all so accomplished that thy justice is satisfied against sin. It is finished. The justice of God, the justice of God that demands that God rewards evil with evil, the curse with sin, and good with good, life and favor upon them that know and love him. Just the justice of God over against sin had been satisfied. And the Lord means to say this, beloved. And that's why it's so important, so extremely important for us to hear this cross word from the lips of Jesus. We must hear it tonight. We must hear it as the voice of Jesus speaking to you, beloved. Speaking to you and to me. We must hear that. Jesus means to say, a moment ago, I'll say this a little differently. A moment ago, I am perfectly conscious. I, the Christ, the Son of God in the flesh, I am perfectly conscious that the satisfaction of the justice of God has been accomplished so that there is nothing left. Hear that, beloved? Hear the voice of Jesus say here from the cross. He still said that. He still said that. That's not a word that was spoken only for a moment at the cross. That's an eternal word, beloved, an eternal word of God. But from the cross, do you hear that word of Jesus say to you, the justice of God against sin has been perfectly accomplished so that there is nothing left of it? And that's in this cross word. And therefore, subjectively, Jesus meant to say, beloved, at this moment, I am conscious of the fact that in all the bearing of the wrath of God throughout my life, I have made a perfect sacrifice. For I bore that wrath of God. I bore that curse of God. I bore all the suffering even of hell the intense suffering of all everlasting hell, as it were compressed in one moment. I bore it all in obedience, in the love of God. I love God when he was angry with me, when he caused me to suffer, when he cast me down into hell. I loved him. I loved him because of his righteousness and holiness. I loved him because I knew that his wrath must be upon the sinner. That's the sacrifice that was accomplished. And that's what Jesus means to say here. Oh, of course, everything is finished. Everything is finished, of course. But centrally, beloved, centrally, this is finished. The suffering of Jesus Christ, in which he bore the wrath of God, in which he willingly bore that wrath of God, in which he subjected his mighty shoulders to the burden of the curse of God as a sacrifice for sin, and put that sacrifice upon the altar of the love of God in deepest hell. That has been accomplished. It's finished. That's finished. That's also the answer to that question, beloved. How is that finished? How is all this work of the Lord finished? You understand, of course, in a way you could probably say, but that wasn't quite true. All isn't finished yet. Not at this moment. Maybe you could say everything was not finished in regard to Jesus Christ himself. Not everything. Jesus has still to descend into the grave. He has still to be raised from the dead on the third day. He has still to ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of God before all is finished. He still has to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit before everything is finished regarding Christ. He still has to come again, as we said this morning. That also belongs to Christ. It isn't finished, you say. It isn't quite finished. That must all still be accomplished. True enough. Still more, beloved. The head of the serpent is crushed, all right. But it doesn't look that way yet. The serpent is still working. The devil is still going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Death and hell are still working. Death and hell are not overcome yet. The enemies are not overcome yet. Antichrist must still come. All that belongs to the work of Christ. Is it finished? Still more. Even regarding the church, things are not finished at the cross. Christ must still send the gospel to every nation to whom he pleases to send it. He must still call all his people from the four winds of heaven into the church, his body. He must still apply all the blessings of salvation to his people. It isn't finished, you say. Beloved, that's all true. Nevertheless, I maintain that although all this must still be accomplished, principally, it is all finished at this very moment. The death of Jesus Christ, the blood of the cross is the principle of the accomplishment of all things in heaven and on earth. You know, that is so beautifully expressed in our confession. May I read a little part of it, please? That bears on this very question. What I want to say, what I want to press on you, beloved, is this. That I want to apply pretty soon this one thing. Then in the cross of Jesus Christ, we enter into a perfect work to which nothing can ever be added. To put it a little different, when Jesus said here, "It is finished," he meant to say, beloved, it is so principally finished. I so centrally and principally died for all the elect. I so perfectly died for them. I so completely removed all the curse of God for them that presently God in his righteousness must raise me from the dead. He must do that. It is finished. That presently God must fulfill his promise to me, the Christ, and take me into glory at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He must do that because it is finished. He must do that, beloved. He must give me the promise of the Holy Spirit through whom I may apply all the blessings of salvation to all my individual elect in the world so that I can gather my church from the whole world. God must do that. Humanly speaking, he can't help it. His righteousness demands it. It is finished. That is so beautifully expressed in the canons to which I just like to call your attention just a moment. This is our confession. You ought to know that confession. It's beautiful. This is Article 8 of the second chapter of the canons. Listen. For this was the sovereign counsel and most gracious will and purpose of God the Father, that the quickening and saving efficacy of the most precious death of his Son. Notice that. The quickening and saving efficacy of Christ's death. Where'd that come from? Should extend to all the elect. Not to all. That will spoil the whole thing. It is finished. It is finished for whom? For all? Then nothing is finished, beloved. Then nothing is finished. If it's so, that Christ calls from the cross, it is finished. My death is finished. The curse is finished. The atonement is finished. My suffering is finished. The satisfaction of God's justice is finished. And now it's up to you that nothing is finished. Nothing. But that's not the case. It is finished. It's completely finished. Finished for all, but not for all men. Finished for those whom the Father had given to Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course. He died on the cross, not for himself. He couldn't die for himself. He died on the cross, however, for sin, not for his own sin. He had no sin. He died for sin, beloved, not in general. He died for the sin of those whom the Father had given him. It is finished. When Christ said it is finished, he meant to say, it is finished for me and for them. It is finished perfectly for me and for those whom the Father had given me, because for them I died. For them I laid my life for the sheep. I did it. It's finished. Now listen, that the saving efficacy of the most precious death of a son should extend to all the elect. In what way? In this way. For bestowing upon them alone the gift of justifying faith, thereby to bring them infallibly to salvation. That is, it was the will of God that Christ, by the blood of the cross, whereby he confirmed the new covenant, should effectually redeem out of every people, tribe, nation, and language all those, and those only, who were from eternity chosen to salvation and given to him by the Father. It is finished. Don't you see? It is finished for all the elect. Finished for all whom the Father had given him before the foundation of the world. Finished, beloved, there, at the cross, on Calvary. There it was finished. There it was finished for all whom the Father had given him. There it was perfected. There is no more wrath for them. Ever since that word was spoken, there is no more wrath for them. There is no more curse for them. It is finished. Believe that. Believe. You hear that word, beloved? There's no more condemnation for them ever since this word was spoken. Believe that. You hear that word of the gospel, that word of Jesus Christ. It is finished. Finished by Christ. Finished for me. Perfectly finished for me. That's the question. And notice that he should, Christ does that all, beloved. Christ does that all. Christ has received from the Father. When he said it was finished, it also implied that he received from the Father the right to do this. The right to do this. Listen. that he should confer upon them faith. And he does that. That's why we believe. That's why we believe. Weak or strong, small or great, that is why we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has conferred upon us the faith. Is that true? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved? Oh, I can say to you, believe, believe, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfectly all right. But I ask you, as a church of our Lord Jesus Christ, you hear this? You hear this? He has received from the Father. At the moment when he said this, it is finished, he received from the Father the right to confer upon you and me faith. True? Listen. Which together with all the other saving gifts of the Holy Spirit, he purchased for them by his death. Don't you see? The principle is right here. That's what I want to call your attention to, beloved. When Christ said it is finished, he meant to say to you and to the Father, Father, I have so satisfied all things, I have so satisfied thy justice, that I expect and may expect from thee the right to give me the power to bestow faith and all the saving benefits of salvation upon my people in time. That's what he does. That's why I say, oh yeah, indeed, Christ had to finish many things yet. But principally, beloved, principally, the cross is the finish of all things. The cross is the right of God. The cross is the right which Christ receives from God to bestow all the blessings of salvation upon his people. It is accomplished forevermore. And that is why I say, beloved, you can add nothing to it. You can add nothing to it. That's meant. It is finished. Don't come with your own work to add something to this the finished work of Christ that is finished. Don't come with, even with your own piety, as if that could add something to this finished work of Christ. Don't come with your own religiousness. Nothing to do with it, beloved. It is finished. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, because it is finished. By all means, don't come with your conditions. You must come unconditionally, beloved, to receive by the faith that Christ implants in your hearts. By that faith, all the unconditional blessings of salvation, without condition. There are no conditions in the finished work of Christ. It is finished. All you do, Yes, must do. Do and must do. Do, beloved, because as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can never do anything else. And the unbeliever can never do it. All you can ever do as believer is go to the cross and hear the word of Jesus, which he speaks through the gospel to you and to me. My son, my daughter, it is finished. Nothing is left forever. No condemnation, no death, no fear, life everlasting, and the covenant of the Lord our God with you. It is finished. Amen. We thank thee, Lord, for thy finished work. We pray that thou so speak thy word unto us as we heard it in this evening hour, and that even in the days of the week we may hear it and may be comforted and receive the completely finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord, and rejoice in thy salvation forevermore. Amen.